Live from the authority of South Florida, the Rich Stevens Show starts now.
Doing a real good show up there. I think we're proving our point, old buddy.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. These are their stories.
It
is Law and Order Tuesday on the Rich Stevens Show with me and criminal defense attorney Michelle Suskauer. So much to go over today. That was my little surprise for you that I wanted to hit you with.
I love it. I love it.
Some people said, you were the one that said, you can't use the Law and Order stuff because they'll sue you. So I just went to the guy, got the guy, and said, hey, can you cut this special intro for us because we're going to use it. And we're going to use it every Tuesday. And he said, yeah, I'd love to do it for you.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The guy?
Well, didn't you just hear it?
Yeah, but I didn't know if it was the guy.
There's only one guy that could sound like that.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for that surprise. It was awesome.
Good. And, you know, I tweeted about that this morning, and I saw you retweeted the tweet that I tweeted about it this morning because I wanted to see how you reacted. And, you know, you look like you're happy. So
I'm
good.
Very happy. Awesome.
Welcome to the broadcast. It is another dreary South Florida day, although, as I keep saying, when I look outside of the beautiful view here at the 850 studios, it could be a lot worse. It could be snowing. It's not. There's some rain on and off, depending on where you are. It was raining heavy, actually, when I got up this morning. And then as I was driving into work, it started to clear a little bit. I can see right along the coastline, it looks like the sun might be trying very hard beyond the clouds to try to come through, but I don't think it's going to happen. The weather that we're looking at today is going to be with us, it looks like, through the week.
That's depressing.
Yeah. But again, it could be snow. So look at it from the positive angle, you know, and maybe, just maybe, listen, we could be having a conversation this time next week on Law and Order Tuesday about, you know, how we're going to spend the $1.5 billion.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Very exciting.
But the chances of that are...
I know.
I'm sorry.
How many tickets did you buy?
None for this past Saturday, but I did for Wednesday.
How
and
many?
I bought, I think I bought four.
I keep telling people this, and, you know, there's some people, and it's very interesting that people don't seem to understand. We had a psychologist on with us yesterday talking about the allure of why people won't drop $2 when it's $50 million. But when it goes to $100 million, all of a sudden people want to get that. And I was surprised yesterday to see there were no lines. I went to three different places just to look, and there were no lines at all. Now, tomorrow it's going to be. Forget about it.
Tomorrow will be everyone. But I think there have been so many stories about the chances, and the chances are so unbelievable. I mean, it's...
You got a better chance of getting elected president of the United States.
That's right.
So, you know...
It's not going to happen.
Think about that. But here's the thing. Somebody should win it. But on the other hand... You have to wonder, Michelle, there's a couple of things going on here that bother me. Number one, have you heard where they do the drawing for the Powerball?
No, where do they do it?
Hobo, have you heard? Well, you don't even have a microphone there. He's in another world.
He's tired.
I'm here.
Have you heard where they do the Powerball drawing?
No, I don't know where they do it.
Hoboken?
No, it's actually in Tallahassee. This is what we're told, that the Powerball is drawn, you know, when you see the balls. First of all, the balls are not tennis balls, ping pong balls. They look like that, but they're heavier. Apparently, we're told that 1 hour before the drawing, every single drawing, they will take every ball out and weigh them to make sure that it's the same weight, to make sure that there's no fixing or anything. This is what we're told.
So that they're not deflated in any way?
Correct. Yeah,
okay.
Correct. Because when you watch the drawing, it looks like they're ping pong balls, right? But they're not. Now, I saw... Over the weekend, I always wondered where it was. And if you want to do a Google search, I literally spent over an hour yesterday trying to find more about this secret location. I can't find anything. There's nothing online. How is that possible? But there was something over the weekend, and I know two other people. One is my boss here at the radio station. He saw the same thing. We don't remember where we saw it. You're waiting for something funny. There's nothing funny coming up there.
Well, I mean, I'm waiting for the point here. Okay, so where
is this? Well, the point is, well, listen, there's a legal aspect coming here, okay? So we're told that it's a secret location in Tallahassee. And stop me when you hear a problem here. And it's in a building 3 stories underground.
Okay. Which is very unusual for Florida.
Because not unusual, impossible.
Yeah, because of the sand.
Right. So how...
Unless it was a special bunker, a special lottery bunker that was
built.
There's
nothing. You can't build that in Florida. That's why we don't have basements, because you would be inside.
So it's a bunch of nonsense.
Well, I don't know. Why would they not tell us the truth? Now, I understand that it's supposed to be a secret location. According to this news report, and God, if you saw this, please call me 877-850-8585 or text me 305-707-7878. Where did we see this? It was sometime over the weekend. I'm told, or according to this report, only 6 people know where this is.
It sort of reminds me of, and this is just a terrible comparison, but executions in Florida are done in a very secret way pursuant to statute, where only very few people know who actually the doctors are, the electric chair, who the executioner was. So, there are certain things that are done because of security, because of safety. We're talking about a tremendous amount of money. I would feel more comfortable not knowing and not having everyone know. There
know.
Are so many crazy people
who could
corrupt the process.
I have no desire to know where the secret building is.
And do we even know how do you ever know that the process is not corrupted
well,
in any
that's
way?
That's what
obviously.
I'm leading to. Because right. if they're telling us about this bunker 3 stories underground, it's in Tallahassee, and we all know that couldn't be possible, well, then a red flag goes up in my mind, and I have to wonder. Now, here's the thing. And I was thinking about this last night, and it really bothers me. Why are there always these huge jackpots at this time of year? In other words, it happened going into last month, where it just carries over. It's in November. Didn't it start rolling over back then?
Yeah.
Same as last year and the year before then. And if you look back in history, it always happens around then. Now, we know that they've made it more difficult to win the Powerball. But would it bother you to find out that there is a very prominent lottery official that has run the Powerball since its inception, was quietly removed from his job and sentenced to 10 years in prison last month for lottery fraud?
Well, that's a little disturbing.
Well, that's a fact. And yet... nobody seems to know about this. I mean, I have all the details. I'll tell you about that coming up. But this is something that the lottery officials are keeping quiet because they want the Powerball fever to continue to balloon.
Well, it's working.
Obviously, yeah. But there's a lot of unanswered questions. And I started thinking about this because the odds don't make sense. Did you know that if you bought 1,000 tickets or if you bought 1 ticket, who would you think has better odds?
You would think the 1,000 tickets,
right.
But it's probably not the case.
Right. The 1 ticket versus 1,000, the same odds, because the odds are the odds. It's 292.2 million. So if you buy 1 ticket, it's still the same odds. You buy 1,000.
No, but this is the thing. And this, look, someone, if it's one out of 292 million, someone has to be the one. There has to be a one. There has to be a one somewhere at some point that's going to happen.
But wouldn't you, doesn't your mind, you're a very smart woman, doesn't your smart mind tell you that we should have had it 2-3 weeks ago?
Sure. It's or longer. It just, and that's why I don't really play. I just, because
but you bought 4 tickets. Why 4?
Well, because it was one for each member of the family.
Oh, how cute.
I know.
877-850-8585. Paul in Lakeland, how are you today?
Rich,
how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, you can build something 3 stories underneath the ground up in Tallahassee. It's not as flat up there as it is down here, so I figured I'd just let you know that.
But listen, I lived in Tallahassee for about 5 years, and I remember looking around for homes, and because I was naive and I first moved from New York and everything, I wanted a basement. You can't get a basement. Nobody has basements there. So how did they build this 3-story, not one, but 3 stories down?
It's hard, but he possibly could do it. I mean, there are, again, it's not as flat as it is down here. So it's possible they could build it into a hill. Very possible.
Not a lot of hills in Tallahassee, but thanks, Paul. I do appreciate a nice thought. See, people want to believe.
Well, there are. No, that's not true. There are a lot of hills. Listen,
there's not a lot of hills.
But
there's
there
hills,
are.
But
so
there's
it's,
not a lot of hills.
So it's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Where have I heard that before? Speaking of putting your mind to it, Sean Penn helped get El Chapo captured. Apparently, he's not in any trouble, but they're saying the actress that introduced Sean to El Chapo, she could be in trouble. We'll talk about that. And also Bill Cosby, another day, another college has taken back an honorary degree that was given to Bill Cosby. And this is just the beginning. We're just getting started on a Law and Order Tuesday with Michelle Suskauer. I'm Rich Stevens. This is The Rich Stevens Show.
Enjoy a bagel with a schmear, not a schmuck. The Rich Stevens Show, 850 WFTL. Here's the here's Rich.
And it's Law and Order Tuesday. Michelle Suskauer in the studio. It's another day. Another college has taken back an honorary degree given to Bill Cosby. This time it's George Washington University. They issued a letter from its president, Stephen Knapp, yesterday citing the sexual abuse allegations against him. The university now joins several other universities, including Brown, Boston University, Tufts, which have all taken back their awards and honorary degrees after more than 50 women have accused Cosby of having drugged and sexually abused them. And as if that's not enough, now Bill Cosby is trying to get a judge, and you said this, I think, a week or two ago. He's trying to get a judge to throw out the sexual assault charges filed against him in Pennsylvania. His attorneys are claiming that they were illegally, improperly, and unethically brought by the district attorney. They're also asking for the DA to be removed from the case. The comedian was arraigned last month on a charge of aggravated indecent assault in connection with this 2004 claim. And last week, prosecutors in L.A. decided not to charge Cosby in two other sexual assault cases. So break this down. What's going on?
Well, Cosby's legal team is trying to be as aggressive as possible. So let's talk about the first thing, which is the removal of the honorary degrees. Not unusual. This is not just unique for Bill Cosby. This is something universities do on a regular basis, is they give honorary degrees to people who are celebrities.
It's basically just a piece of paper that
and there are times when they'll get an honorary degree and be the commencement speaker.
Right.
I went to Boston University, which is one of the universities that's withdrawn Bill Cosby's honorary degree. So sometimes they go hand in hand with that. So not unusual. I think it's happened to other celebrities. I know I've read that it's happened to other celebrities. So that's the first thing. And again, that happens as well with endorsements. When Tiger Woods was going through his difficulties, he lost a lot of endorsements.
But does these people are waiting so long to take these away? And what happens when they take it away? Do they actually have to, does he have to hand his back to them?
I mean, it's more ceremonial, and I think that it's, but it's significant. And no, I think you don't just make a snap decision just because somebody's charged with a crime. Again, there is a presumption of innocence, even for Bill Cosby and everybody else, no matter what the charge is. And I think the university has to go through their due diligence, go through their board of trustees and say, okay, what are we going to do? And again, a lot of it is perception with the university. Do we want to have an honorary degree out there?
But until George Washington University brought this up, I didn't even know that Cosby had an honorary doctorate. Bringing this up? And now don't they sound foolish that they've waited after 50 women have come forward?
No, I don't think so. I think that it also is not something that a university can do in terms of a snap judgment. So that's the first thing. In terms of what's going on procedurally right now, again, we talked about this last week and the week before. There are a couple of different venues where there are things that are going on. First of all, in California, he was being investigated by I think one or two other women who had made allegations. The DA has decided not to go ahead and file those charges. We do have the one jurisdiction where there are pending criminal charges is Pennsylvania, and his legal team is saying that it's politically motivated because the prior DA decided that there was not enough evidence. So that's number one. And they're trying to get those charges dismissed, which may be trying to change the venue and trying to get this particular district attorney off the case so another special district attorney is going to happen. That's not going to happen, in my opinion. And then, of course, we have...
But what about the charges? Will the charges be dropped, you think?
Well, it's not. They're not going to be dropped by the state by the
district
attorney.
But that's what the attorneys are trying to do.
They're
right?
asking for the court to dismiss the charges. Do I think that that's going to happen?
Wait, no, I don't. What's the difference between dismissed and dropped?
Well, no, there's no. But only a district attorney's office can drop charges that they file. But only a court can dismiss charges based on legal grounds. So it's just. The district attorney's office in Montgomery County is not going to drop these charges. They're asking for the court to dismiss the charges based on the fact that they're saying they were politically motivated. I haven't seen their motion.
But I'm still confused. What dropping and throwing out?
It means the charges are gone. It just depends on who's going to be the one to make them disappear.
If they make them disappear, then he just walks free, like in L.A.?
Yes. But I don't think that's going to happen. I have not seen Cosby's motion at this point, but I don't think at this juncture that's going to happen. Then we have two other things. We have, number one, we have a federal case where there's a civil action going on, and I believe that may be in Philadelphia. And then Cosby has filed motions for defamation against several of his accusers.
Yeah, but I think it's seven of them, one including somebody from right here in South Florida. Mm-hmm.
So we have actually what's pending right now are three different things. But only one criminal case.
Now, are all these going to be dragged on forever, like a lot of things, or do they have a way of speeding this up?
Well, unless Cosby waives his right to a speedy trial, the criminal case can be tried quickly. But I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. But
now, when you say quickly, what's quickly?
I mean, potentially 6 months, but I don't think that that's going to happen in this case. I think they're going to be as aggressive as possible, and it could drag on for a while, especially if the court appoints a different district attorney to go ahead and prosecute this case.
But you don't think that's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. Again, I haven't seen Cosby's lawyer's motions.
It's very interesting.
It is. It's really interesting. But Cosby's lawyers are putting up a very aggressive fight, which they absolutely have a right to do.
What do you think those guys get paid an hour?
A lot.
I mean, we're talking like a couple thousand an hour or something like that?
There's a variety of different. There are some really, actually, some very, very good attorneys that I'm familiar with out of Philadelphia who are part of his team. And I'm sure that they're charging a significant amount. They're probably charging some sort of a large retainer and then an hourly rate. Who knows how much?
Unbelievable. All right, listen, Michelle Suskar in the studio with us. A lot of stuff still happening that we got to talk about, like the El Chapo situation. We now know the ratings from the Golden Globes. The affluenza mom, they dropped her bond. It was at $1 million, and they dropped it to almost nothing. This is the affluenza mom. I'm going to talk about that coming up next, why they did it, and if it was me or you, would they have done the same thing? You are listening to The Rich Stevens Show. More right after this. Hang on.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskar. These are their stories.
And I got to tell you, it's an honor and always a pleasure to have Michelle Suskar sitting right next to me in the studio. It's kind of like a pseudo courtroom, if you will. And actually, that's probably not a good thing, because if it's a pseudo courtroom, then a hobo would probably be the judge, right?
And you would be the defendant?
I don't know what I would be. I have no idea. I still can't figure the whole thing out, but... I think it's official now that we have a nice graphic that I put up on Twitter and Facebook today, and I saw you share it as well. And now that we got the Law and Order intro for us, it's official now.
I love it. I think it's very exciting. I'm so happy to be here every Tuesday morning.
I hear there's a couple other things in the works, too. I'm not sure. I don't want to say anything about it, but I hear there's a couple other things in the works, too, which will make it even cooler, because some of the things that we talk about, people like to hear. What am I hearing? That's rain?
Wow.
No, it's not rain. It's not raining outside, but apparently it's raining on top of us. What are you talking about?
No, they're testing probably the sprinklers again.
That's great.
They're testing the sprinklers.
Good timing.
Yeah, last time I think that was that noise. And then if you go to the back, you'll see a humongous hose.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the radio, I guess you are listening to the radio, right? You have no idea what we're talking about, because I'm sure the microphones are not picking that up. It's just in our heads that we hear it all of a sudden. It just sounds like a bunch of little things running around above us. I had to think for a second. We are on the top floor, so...
Could be rats.
Could be. Anything is possible. And speaking of which, the mother of the affluenza teen who was caught hiding out in Mexico, she had her bond reduced by a Texas judge yesterday from $1 million to $75,000 because she could afford it. Now, Tanya Couch and her son, Ethan, 18 years old, were caught in Mexico after Ethan broke the conditions of his probation that he's serving for killing four people in a drunk driving accident. Now, while they lowered Tanya Crouch's bond, the judge said, quote, "We're not talking about a third-degree felony here, not capital murder. Let's look at it for what it is." Now, Stephen McWilliams, Couch's son from a previous relationship, testified about her finances, claiming her bank accounts have been frozen by authorities and displayed a balance of negative $99 billion. Is that possible? Negative $99 billion?
If you're... if you owe that much money,
how can anybody owe $99 billion? Even Donald Trump only has $10 billion.
It doesn't make any sense.
So an expert that was testifying in Ethan Couch's trial for the drunk driving death said the teen suffered from affluenza, claiming he was so spoiled by his parents he didn't know the difference between right and wrong. To me, it seems like they're trying to make us feel sorry for the mother now.
No, I don't think so. I think what the judge is trying to do by looking at this is saying, okay, this is, let's just take away all of the publicity and what this was. Let's see what she's not charged with first degree murder. She's charged with a third degree felony. It's not a capital offense. What can we do to secure her appearance at future court hearings and treat it appropriately? And $1 million is not treating it appropriately. So what the judge...
But what happened to their affluenza? Did they all of a sudden get cured?
But that's not something that she used as a defense because she wasn't the defendant. She's the mother. And what the court found is that she needs to have a psychiatric evaluation.
But she's
clearly
the one that took the kid to Mexico.
I understand that. And so that this is not a judgment on her guilt or innocence. This is purely on her release and how she will be able to be secured so she will appear at future court hearings.
Okay, so if all her money's frozen, how's she going to come up with the $75,000?
It could, someone could put up property, someone could put up...
Who's the someone?
I don't know, but clearly someone did, or she had the ability to do it because bond has been posted and she has special conditions in order to secure her appearance. She is going to be on 24-hour monitoring, on a house arrest monitor. She has to have a psychiatric evaluation. She can't have any firearms or weapons, no controlled substances. She's going to have random drug testing, and she needs to live in a particular county with her 29-year-old son and his family. She has to report on a weekly basis. So the court felt that with the $75,000 bond, as well as these other conditions and 24-hour monitoring, that that's going to secure her appearance for this third-degree felony. We're not talking about the son.
No, I get
We're
that.
We're talking
but
about it, mom.
But it's hard to feel any sympathy for this family at all, especially the spoiled brat.
But it's not about feeling sympathy. It's the court clearly just saying what is going to secure her appearance for future court hearings.
We're talking about the affluenza mom. The son, they're saying that he could be in Mexico. The attorneys there could be keeping him there for, they're saying, possibly 6 months. Is that possible?
It is possible because we're dealing with a foreign country, not another state. And if somebody is going to be fighting extradition, you're not only dealing with their criminal justice system and you're dealing with their criminal justice system and our criminal justice system. So the wheels move a whole lot slower.
Now, speaking of the criminal justice system, what about El Chapo? We're hearing now that the extradition to the United States is possible, too. But I'm guessing they're not going to give him up and say, yeah, go, when they won't let when they're holding a kid back, right? I mean, they're two unrelated things, but it's still the same government.
I think that they're two unrelated things. Look, Mexico didn't do a very good job the first time in securing him in prison.
And then they put him back in the same prison.
So it's not a good place. But, you know, that is the U.S. wants him and certainly wants him much more than the affluenza teen. If you want to make any sort of comparison, but they're both going to be coming back to this country. It's just a question of when.
So you think El Chapo will be brought back
here? I do. I just think it's just going to be a matter of time. I don't know what Mexico has planned for him, but the United States wants him back.
What if he escapes again? I mean, it's probable. He's going back to the same prison where he got last time. I mean, with the amount of resources that this guy's got, you know, the prison guards are, you know, we don't even know I know there's different stories about Sean Penn. which is just the such weirdness it brings to this story, how they had him under surveillance the whole time. And apparently they said at first that they were wanting to question him, and now they said they don't want to question him.
You know, it's, and he doesn't, you know, he didn't commit any crimes. He doesn't have to, if they want to question him.
What is my responsibility as a citizen of the United States if I have information as to where a felon is that's an escaped convict? Am I under any obligation to reveal it?
You're not under any legal obligation. Ethical obligation is different. But legal obligation, in my understanding of the law, Sean Penn we're talking about, did not break the law in any way. Are people looking at this sort of askance saying, did he do and why? But he's certainly not the first journalist. And again, he went there as a journalist, not as a celeb.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing in itself. I think he just, you know, I think it was Spicoli that just wanted to eliminate the middleman, went right to the top. I mean, think about this for a minute.
He has not been Spicoli for quite some time.
But how do you know this?
Oh, please. That is actually...
There's talk of him getting back with Madonna, and I mean, it's nauseating.
That's actually, by the way, very, very funny.
I think it is.
Yeah, it was always very funny.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Your Spicoli comment. It was. It was very funny.
And if you see that they show El Chapo in prison and a pizza gets delivered, I somehow picture Spicoli walking in with the pizza.
And Mr. Hand. Right. wanting them to share the pizza, right, with the rest of the class.
There you go. My favorite Martian.
Love it.
All right. Michelle Seskar in the studio. It's Law and Order Tuesday. I got to tell you, we have some more time, so we're going to talk about other things. If there's something we're missing, please text me on my iPhone, 305-707-7878, 305-707-7878. Some people are telling us the reason on the affluenza mom is because she's a flight risk with resources. But if she doesn't have resources, if all the money's frozen, she doesn't really have resources. So I don't know if that's even relevant in this case, is it?
But what is relevant is that the fact that she is a flight risk, which is normally if she wasn't a flight risk.
But isn't everybody a flight risk?
No, not everybody is a flight risk. No, but the court has to weigh that. Not everyone has the means or has the desire, or clearly she has the history of fleeing with her son and hiding and changing appearances, etc., going to a foreign country. So, but no, not everyone is a flight risk. And certainly when I go to court and I'm arguing at a bond hearing that my client is not a flight risk, there are certain arguments you make. They've been living in this country. They're crime free. I don't believe that the affluenza mom has any prior criminal history. That is also something that gets taken into consideration.
But if the guy, again, let's go back for a second. If the son broke his probation, does that instantly make him a felon now?
No, he's not instantly a felon because he doesn't have any convictions for any felonies. What will happen to the case now that could then make him a convicted felon if he is convicted of violating his probation, you know, and he's sent to adult court?
But we know he did violate his probation at this point,
well, right, but he has not been convicted of violating his probation.
So, again, I'm a little bit confused. Why is this not a federal case? Because they crossed over into another country.
It could possibly be a federal charge. It could. I haven't heard any grumblings that it will get picked up by the feds at this point.
All right. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. Frank and Delray, how are you today?
Pretty good, thanks, Rich. Hey, I just wanted to mention to you that quote that you've come out with a couple of times, anything is possible. The full quote is in the Hebrew scripture and the Christian part of the Bible, anything is possible with God.
Okay, that's true.
Now, hey, in that regard, if you're given enough time in the material world, anything can happen. In the spiritual world or the world of free choice, not necessarily. You never have to commit a sin.
That's true. And stay well, my friend. No idea what just happened. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
I think he's been standing in the sun too long. It's Rich Stevens on 850 WFTL. Here's Rich.
All right, so Michelle Seskar here for just a few more minutes. This hour goes fast, doesn't it?
It really does. Too fast.
I mean, it's just, well, and you know, by the way, I feel like you were elevated to a different status today. Not only do we have an official intro for the Law and Order Tuesday, but like a true celeb, you walked in the building about 30 seconds before we went on air. Normally, you've been coming, you know, about a half hour before. You sat down, we talked, you had coffee. Today, you walked in right into the studio on the air.
Is that okay?
Would you do that with a courtroom? I'm just curious.
No. I'm going to come in a little bit before.
Yeah, so why am I any different?
I just...
Objection.
I don't have anything to say. Right. Sorry.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I appreciate you being here. I saw that you made some posts on Facebook on Sunday night about the Golden Globes. We now know. Did you watch the whole thing?
No.
But you caught the end with the Shalom thing.
I did catch the end. It was very, very quick. And so I had to, my husband heard it and I said, wait, what did I miss? And so he just rewound it and I heard it and I thought it was absolutely hysterical.
I did too. The ratings for the Golden Globes were just a little worse than last year's when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey hosted. They picked up 18.5 million viewers, which is not too shabby, but it's down about 4% from last year when it had 19.3 million. Part of the problem... people are saying because the fact that the NFL playoff game ran over on Fox and they had 30 million viewers. And meanwhile, since the show actually had 10% more viewers than the last time Ricky Gervais hosted, it shouldn't come as a complete surprise that guess who's already been invited back to host next year?
Yeah, he's a funny guy. I mean, he's, you know, he just says what he thinks and he doesn't care.
Maybe he should run for president.
We already have one of those.
This could, of course, mean that he simply signed a multi-year hosting deal to begin with, and they're just using that marketing ploy to make it sound like they invited him back.
I think they wait and see if they completely bomb before they go ahead and invite again.
Ricky
I really
Gervais
do.
Is never going to bomb. I mean, come on.
No. So what we were talking about before is at the very end of the show, and you got to catch it because he just... I mean, when he said that, you know, from me and now I can't even think of his name.
Mel Gibson,
Shalom.
Right.
And he was on earlier, and I didn't even see. Did you see the little bit with Mel Gibson?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was it kind of nasty?
Network, well, yes and no. They censored it. So unless you knew what they were saying, you didn't know what they were saying because they did a pretty good job at censoring. The guy with the censor button was all over the place.
I thought he was a little too generous with the censor button.
I did too, but CBS is worried. And, you know, thank God we don't have one of those buttons here. Next Tuesday, we'll do it again at 9 o'clock. Michelle Suskauer in the studio with us for Law & Order Tuesday. Be safe. Have a great day. And thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.